Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to SBI Life Insurance Company Limited Q3 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Jhingran, Managing Director and CEO, SBI Life, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is a pleasure to welcome you all to the results update call of SBI Life Insurance for the period ended December 31st, 2025. We appreciate and thank you for your valuable time and efforts in analyzing the results and participating in the earnings call. Updates on our financial results are available on our website as well as the websites of both the stock exchanges. Along with me, Mr. Sangramjit Singh Sarangi, President and CFO, Abhijit Gulanikar, President, Business Strategy, Subhendu Bal, President and Chief Risk Officer, Prithesh Chaubey, President and Appointed Actuary, and Smita Verma, Senior Vice President, Finance and Investor Relations, are present. The life insurance industry witnessed improved momentum during the third quarter, supported by recent regulatory measures and a gradual shift in customer preference towards protection-oriented products. The exemption of GST on individual policies contributed to improved affordability and added demand during the quarter. We have achieved significant milestones that underscore the strength and scale of our business. Our assets under management, the AUM, surpassed 5 trillion rupees, that is 5 lakh crores, reflecting sustained customer confidence and long-term value creation driven by disciplined execution. In December, SBI Life outperformed the overall industry on an IRP basis, driven by volume growth and higher individual policy sales, while in Q3, the company led the private life insurance segment with a 68 basis points gain. Besides, it achieved a 192 basis point gain on a total rated premium basis, reinforcing its strong market position and competitive performance. This performance reflects the resilience, operational efficiency, and productivity across all our distribution channels: agency, bancassurance, direct, and digital. As customer needs continue to evolve, SBI Life remains focused on innovation and strengthening its offerings to drive sustainable growth and long-term value for all stakeholders. Now, let me give you some key highlights for the period ended 31st December 2025. New business premium stands at rupees 313.3 billion, with a 19% growth and a private market share of 23.5%. Individual rated new business premium, IRP, stands at rupees 166.8 billion, with a growth of 15% and private market share of 25.6%. Gross written premium stands at rupees 733.5 billion, with a growth of 20%. Our profit after tax grew by 4% to rupees 16.7 billion as compared to the corresponding period last year. Value of new business stands at rupees 50.4 billion, with a growth of 17%. VONB margin stands at 27.2% for the period ended December 31st, 2025, with a gain of 34 basis points. Indian embedded value for the company as on December 31, 2025, stands at rupees 801.3 billion. Our assets under management stands at rupees 5.1 trillion, with a growth of 16% over corresponding period last year. Solvency ratio of 1.91 as against the regulatory requirement of 1.50. We will now update you on each of the key parameters in detail. Let me start with the premium. Individual rated premium stands at rupees 166.8 billion with a YOY growth of 15%, while retaining our leadership position with a 25.6% private market share and a 18.6% total market share, it grew by 14.4% with a 3-year CAGR, outperforming the industry average of 10.4%. Total new business premium is rupees 313.3 billion with private market share stands at rupees 23.5% and total market share stands at 10.1%. Group new business premium stands at rupees 87.8 billion with a contribution of 28% in new business premium. Renewal premium grew by 21% to rupees 420.2 billion which accounts for 57% of the gross written premium. To sum up, gross written premium stands at rupees 733.5 billion with a growth of 20% over corresponding previous period. APE stands at rupees 185.2 billion registering a growth of 16%. Out of this, individual APE stands at rupees 168.8 billion with a growth of 15%. During the period ended December 31, 2025, total 16.5 lakh new policies covering 18.3 million lives were underwritten. The growth in sum assured reflects strong consumer confidence and rising awareness of financial protection. Individual and group new business sum assured increased by 74% and 67% respectively compared to the same period last year, while rider sum assured has grown significantly, now contributing 30% of the individual sum assured. Let me give you details about the product mix. For the period of 9 months financial year 2026, guaranteed non-par savings are contributing 18% on individual APE basis, while ULIP stands at rupees 114.3 billion, contributing 68% versus 72% last year for the same period. Protection business contributes 9% of APE and stands at 16.6 billion. We continue to maintain a strong focus on the protection business, which remains a key pillar of our growth strategy. The protection segment recorded robust performance with a 24% year-on-year growth on an APE basis. Individual protection APE is at rupees 6.4 billion with a growth of 21% as compared to 9-month FY25. It is noteworthy that the pure protection category saw a strong growth of 98% on an individual APE basis, reflecting rising awareness and demand for comprehensive financial protection, while the individual sum assured in the protection segment grew by 87%. Group protection APE stands at rupees 10.2 billion with a strong growth of 25%. Credit life APE has grown by 20% and stands at rupees 2.1 billion. And GTI APE has grown by 27% standing at rupees 8.1 billion. Individual APE for participating products stands at rupees 12.3 billion with an exceptional growth of 116% year on year. Our recently launched product Smart Money Back Plus has garnered a premium of rupees 5.6 billion. Traction in individual non-par saving products on APE basis continues and witnessed growth of 20%. Retirement plans assist customers in building a substantial corpus of funds to maintain the desired lifestyle and manage expenses in their golden years. Total annuity and pension new business underwritten by the company is ₹64.1 billion. Moving to update on our distribution partners, with a strength of more than 58,000 CIFs, the bancassurance business of SBI and RRBs contributes 62% of the total APE. On an individual APE basis, it stands at ₹112.3 billion, reflecting growth of 16%. SBI branch productivity on individual APE terms stands at ₹6.4 million for this period, registering a growth of 15%. Banks other than SBI Group are also growing at 24% on total APE basis. As on 31st December 2025, agency individual APE stood at ₹48.8 billion, growing 11%, with agent productivity at ₹3 lakh. The channel witnessed a shift in product mix. Non-ULIP share increased from 31% to 37% for a 9-month period, supported by robust 86% growth in agency individual sum assured. The company added over 94,000 agents on a gross basis. We have opened 66 new branches this year. This expansion is aligned with our vision to create infrastructure that supports the long-term development of our agency channel. The other channels, direct, corporate agents, brokers, online and web aggregators for 9 months grew by 33% and contributed 11% of total APE. Non-par business growth through other channel registered growth of 32% on individual APE basis. We are investing in building our online business channel, and for 9 months of this channel has grown by 45% on APE basis. Coming to updates on profitability, our financial performance reflects the impact of GST and revised labor law. Taking these factors into account, the company's profit after tax for the period ended 31st December 2025 stood at ₹16.7 billion, representing a 4% growth over the corresponding period last year. Excluding this impact, the profit after tax for the period ended 31st December 2025 would have been ₹21.5 billion with a growth of 34%. Our solvency remained strong at 1.91 as against regulatory requirement of 1.50. Value of new business stood at ₹50.4 billion, reflecting 17% growth with a margin of 27.2% for the period ended 31st December 2025, up from 26.9% in 9 months FY25, driven by both volume growth and favorable shift in product mix. The margin is reported after accounting for the impact of GST. Excluding this impact, the VONB margin would have stood at 28.3% with a gain of 140 bps. In Q3 FY26, VONB reached ₹22.9 billion, registering a 22% increase over the same quarter last year. Embedded value for the company as on December 31, 2025 stands at ₹801.3 billion with a growth of 18% over corresponding period. Excuse me. OPEX ratio stands at 6.2% and total cost ratio stands at 11.2% for the period ended December 31, 2025. As compared to 5.3% and 10.2% respectively for the period ended December 31, 2024. With respect to persistency of individual regular premium, 13th month persistency stands at 87.1% with an improvement of 101 basis points, while there has been a slight decline in other cohorts during the current period, we remain confident that persistency will improve by the end of the year. As mentioned in my opening remarks, assets under management stand at rupees 5.12 trillion as at December 31, 2025, having a growth of 16%. Debt claim settlement ratio stands at 99.3% for this period. Our mis-selling ratio stands at 0.02%, which is one of the lowest in the private industry, and this is achieved through our consistent approach adopted by the company to ensure right selling of the customers. Digitalization is transforming the life insurance industry, enabling us to deliver enhanced services and a more seamless experience for our customers. As we embrace this digital transformation, we remain committed to innovation and excellence, ensuring that we stay ahead in an increasingly competitive landscape. The company continues efficient usage of technology for simplification of processes, with 99.7% of the individual proposals being submitted digitally. 58% of the individual proposals are processed through automated underwriting. In conclusion, by embedding resilience and continuous improvement at the core of our culture and by strategically strengthening our key channels, we are well positioned for sustained growth. Our unwavering commitment to delivering exceptional customer service not only deepens client relationships but also reinforces our reputation as a trusted and leading force in the market. Thank you all, and now we are happy to take any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and then one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Again, to register for a question, you may press star and one. Our first question comes from the line of Avinash Singh from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. Good set of numbers considering the GST level code impact, the kind of consistent margins and a very strong VNB growth, particularly in the quarter. That's kind of a great achievement. First is particularly a bit I would like to know on product mix. So in the current environment where there has been kind of a repo rate cut that leads to deposit rates going down, but bond yields kind of a holding or inching up, typically a non-par savings growth one would have expected to be better or rather stronger than the overall growth. But at least in the quarter, it has not been. So what's happening there, I mean, that is kind of a hampering the demand of non-par in the market, I mean, your experience. And secondly, related, sort of slightly unrelated, solvency at 191% is far, far above, I would say, the regulatory requirement of 150%. But typically in your embedded value assumption and all, your, I guess, management threshold is 180%. So do you see, I mean, this solvency and organic profit generation to be sufficient enough for you to allow a strong growth across product segment, like, okay, whatsoever product is growing, maybe protection, non-par. So, I mean, do you see any sort of a limitation coming from that side that can kind of lead to some optimization on product or rather your solvency or capital is totally adequate to provide a strong growth across the products? So these are two questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Avinash, for your appreciation. So product mix, as far as you were talking about non-par growth, so I would like to highlight that on IRP basis, the growth in pure non-par products, excluding protection, is 10%. Protection has grown by 44%. The numbers of non-par could have been better, but during the quarter, we launched our participating product, money back, and a lot of our distributors got diverted to that new product, and it showed very strong growth. So if you look at the non-par combined growth, it has been much better than our overall IRP growth. As far as solvency is concerned, yes, it has slightly come down than the H1 numbers, but then that is also a result of our product mix. Lot of protection is being written, and if you look at the total sum assured that has been written by the company, we are one of the highest with more than 74% growth on total sum assured. That is having some impact on the solvency. But at 1.91, we are comfortable, and we are very sure that going forward in the short term, this will continue to support our growth.
Thank you. And just a quick follow-up. I mean, if I were to see, I mean, the labor code impact or GST impact, everything now particularly is already numbers. And also in product mix terms, typically, I mean, PAR have done or other outgrown non-PAR. So all these factors already is kind of in base. So is it safe to kind of assume that going ahead, the margins typically would be better than where it has been in the quarter? Is it a safe kind of assumption?
So as far as margin is concerned, we are very happy that the guidance that we had provided of between 26 and 28%, we have been able to maintain that at the middle range of that. As far as GST impact is concerned, see, that impact is going to continue because the business will be there and commission payment will be there. The GST payment on that commission will continue to be there. But by our internal processes, by strengthening our product mix, our distribution mix, and having leverage on our other operational expenses, etc., we have been able to maintain the margin as per our guidance. So we continue to stick to our guidance of between 26 and 28% in the coming quarter also.
Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Prayesh Jain from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. And congrats on great set of numbers. Just, you know, coming to the channel performance, how do you see the SBI as a channel growing from here on? It's been showing a very strong momentum in the last few months. Do you see this momentum getting stronger going ahead? How should we think about SBI as a channel, and what are the kind of levers we have there to grow the business more aggressively?
So as far as channel mix is concerned, we are happy that our overall growth numbers, that the guidance that we had provided of about 13-14%, we have been able to maintain that and slightly maybe even better than the guidance. Within the channel mix, different channels have their seasonality, and third quarter specifically has always been very good for SBI Life. There is some good traction being seen in the SBI also of late, and we are very sure that in the fourth quarter also, we will be able to maintain our overall growth number as per our guidance of 13-14%. And within that, all the channels are performing as per our expectations.
So this 13-14% guidance is the APE growth?
Yeah, sorry, come back again.
This 13-14% growth is for the full year APE growth?
Yes.
Okay. And so what would be your thought process with respect to, say, now we are already into the 10th month of this year. How do you see the next year shaping up from a growth perspective?
So there is good traction being seen in the last quarter. As a company and as a player in the industry, we hope that this trend noticed in the last quarter will continue for some time, for this quarter and in the coming year also.
Got that. So, and yeah, second question is on the cost ratios. While we are amongst the best in the industry, by far the best in the industry, but we've seen this increasing, right, for the total cost ratio has gone up to about 11.2% in 9 months. I'm sure there will be some implications of GST and labor laws in it. But as you said, the GST impact is going to be here, and labor law could be one time. But how do we see this cost ratios going ahead? Do we see this at topping out at anywhere close to current levels, or do you think this will continue to increase?
The cost ratio is also, you see, the product mix is also one of the factors for the cost ratio. So there is some impact of improvement in product mix on the cost ratio. As you rightly said, GST and the labor code impact has also been there. Going forward, I think we will continue to maintain in the same range, plus minus approximately.
We have to differentiate between operating cost and commission. Operating cost, like we have MD said, we will continue to maintain. And if our product mix further improves, there could be some increase in commission ratio, but that is part of the overall mix, so that should not matter.
Okay. So last question, anything on there has been a lot of discussions going around with respect to commission tappings in the industry. Any thoughts that you want to share from the same?
So we continue to be the lowest cost operator in the industry, and we are ready for any kind of changes, if any, coming from the regulator side on the commission front.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and then one to ask a question. Our next question comes from the line of Madhukar Ladha from J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I have a couple of questions. First, on the VNB margin, I think in the first half call, you had mentioned that ceteris paribus, the impact of GST is about 175 basis points. That would be sort of on a full-year basis compared to FY25 full-year margins. I wanted to get a sense that now that this quarter is over, what would that number be, and what is the sort of benefit that we've got because of a better product mix in 3Q? So if I were to just look at 3Q margins, where are we tracking in terms of the impact of just the 3Q margin, just GST on the 3Q margins? And second, sir, when I look at protection growth, so versus peers, our individual protection growth has been lower. And in this environment, because of the GST cut, etc., one would expect even stronger protection growth. So what's the thought process over there, and how are you sort of looking at protection over the next couple of years if we can see further acceleration happening over there? Lastly, sir, these new labor laws, can you quantify what is the impact? I may have missed that in your opening remarks. And have you accounted for this impact in your EV disclosure that you have given? Yeah, those would be my three questions. Thanks.
So I will come to your second question first. The protection growth for the year on the IRP basis has been 26.1%. And including group also, we have seen some good protection growth in credit life. 27% plus. So overall, the protection growth is better than the company's overall growth numbers. Our focus on protection products, as you must have noticed, we have launched several products in the last 1 year in the protection segment and very competitively priced. Our protection product on the YONO channel is also giving us very good numbers. We have sold more than 1.5 lakh policies in the last 9 months in this financial year. So the focus on protection continues to be there. As far as impact of new labor laws is concerned, it is 135 crores which has been accounted for in our profitability statement. And yes, this has also been counted under the EV calculation. Now regarding VONB margin, I will request our Chief Actuary Mr. Pritesh Chaubey to respond.
Yes, sir. Margin fund, what we explained last time, that the full year impact will be 175 basis points, and that we primarily will try to get offset by the or better product mix. If I look into this quarter, the full year, the business impact is around 150 basis points, and this is coming because you might be noticed that there is slightly increase in the ULIP mix and that part, but that also help us to get lesser impact on the GST. So, if you look at YTD basis, is 110 basis point. So, we were still holding up that by end of the year, most of the impact will get observed by our product, better product mix, and maybe left with the 30-40 basis point, not more than that at the end of the year.
Got it. And just one follow-up. We're seeing a reduction in persistency in the 25th, 37th, 61st month a little bit. Any comments in that? And have we assumed enough, or do we have some margin of error over there, or would that result in sort of some negative operating experience?
There is no concern at all in the persistency is concerned. We have got a very good strong growth on our renewal premiums, almost kind of about 20-21%. If you see the 13-month persistency also has shown the growth better as compared to the previous numbers. Only the 61st month persistency which has come down, which previously also we have communicated that this is the COVID cohort which is going to hit this year. This is going to be the last cohort which we are expecting. 25th month and the 37th month, it is just a marginal, which we are very hopeful that it will be covered up in the current quarter itself. And 49 months, we are very clear that it is going to be positive. So we don't have any issue per se at this moment as far as the persistency is concerned across cohorts.
Got it, sir. Got it. All right, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Sanket Kota from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, if I understood right, you said in 2Q, annualized impact was 175 bps on the margin due to GST, which you cut it down to 150. And by end of the full year, the impact should not be on annualized basis more than 30-40 basis points. That's the way you are trying to tell, sir?
The impact net of this product mix will be not be more than 30-40 basis points.
Okay, so basically compared to the last year, means basically compared to the last year, if you don't make any assumption changes, which you typically do in the fourth quarter, then the margin for the company will be 30-40 basis point lower compared to the last year. That's the way I need to understand, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, and naturally assumption changes which will play out in fourth quarter will probably add or maintain the margins maybe, hopefully.
Yeah, that will come back on the here.
It will also depend on the product mix.
Yeah.
Understood. And the second question, sir, is on the growth. So basically, if I look last 3 odd years, the fourth quarter is typically 20-22% lower compared to the third quarter. Maybe that was not the case pre-COVID. Just wanted to understand that the trend will continue because sales typically get affronted in more than 3Q. So is it fair to say that in fourth quarter your growth will be 20% kind of lower compared to 3Q?
So as far as growth is concerned, for the entire year we had given a guidance of 13-14%. And we continue to stick to that for the entire financial year also.
Understood. So which means that you are already at 16% growth in 9 months. So if you are achieve, if you don't beat the guidance, then it's like 10-11% growth for the fourth quarter. That I'm assuming that number will be little conservative. So just wanted to understand that point.
No, we will definitely be much better than 10-11 if you look at the individual quarter. But overall guidance for the year remains at 14%.
But hot, okay. That quarter three will remain our biggest quarter.
Yeah.
In absolute number.
So basically fourth quarter should be smaller than relatively smaller than the third quarter in that sense.
Yes, absolute number, yes.
Absolute number, yes, but the growth numbers are different than the absolute numbers.
Understood, sir. And if you can quantify the guidance for 27, if you have already started working on budget, that will be useful. And second question is, see, now you are the only company among all the listed names, even the recently listed names, you don't have any exposure to deferred annuity. So any thoughts you have maybe growing the annuity business by launching a deferred annuity, because now entire industry has launched it. So just wanted to understand your thoughts on that particular product.
So on the deferred annuity, we have already working on that. So we'll do that just to get this. So we have one product. This is not that we don't have deferred annuity. We have a deferred annuity, but that is on single premium. And what people are looking for the more limited pay kind of deferred annuity. So we're working on that. Hopefully we'll go and launch those product as well.
56% for annuity business, individual annuity in this quarter with single annuity on rated basis. So the annuity is seeing good traction even without the regular pay deferred product.
So the reason I'm asking, sir, is that this typically it is believed that regular pay deferred annuity has a superior margin, and maybe the growth could have been much more accelerated if you would had that product in your kitty. So from that perspective, I'm just asking any thoughts, and or fundamentally you believe that a regular pay deferred annuity is not a great product, and therefore it cannibalizes into non-par, and that's why you don't want to launch it.
No, we are working on that and we will learn that, so not a question.
Okay.
It is not that if we don't have one product, then our growth is suffering because of that. We continue to take advantage of all available market opportunities. And if something is missing from our arsenal, we have definite reasons for that, and we continue to work on those reasons and introduce appropriate product at appropriate time.
Understood, sir. Maybe if you can, if you are working on the budget 27 numbers, if you can guide. And lastly, you gave rider numbers for the individual sum assured, which is 30%. But if I want to check on ULIPs, what is your rider attachments on premium basis or in policy count? I'm interested.
Policy count it is approximately 35-40%.
Okay.
Premium, we don't look into because premium is a peanuts, because if you see the most of the saving product, you compare rider, premium doesn't really stand it. But we are more than happy, and we are trying to improve further this attachment, rider attachment. And 35%, 40%, our objective is to improve from the, this is also indicate that how riders are important for the customer to provide the protection, which is the sole objective for any insurance company like us.
As far as FY27 guidance is concerned, we are still working on the numbers. We have seen very good traction in the last quarter, and we are keeping a very close watch and how these 1 or 2 months of this quarter pan out, and you will have to wait a bit for the final guidance for the next financial year. But I will assure that it will not be lower than what we are currently growing at.
Perfect, sir. Understood. Thanks for your answers.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Rishi Jhunjhunwala from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity. Couple of questions, sir. One is, this quarter, the amount of PAR that we have sold is almost more than what we have sold the entire last year or last four quarters. So just wanted to understand, what is driving this, right? Is there a specific push towards this product because there was it was easier to absorb some of the GST impact here, or how do we look at it if it is a one-off and then it will drop down to the normal rate going forward?
This is a par portfolio, as we earlier also mentioned, even if you remember 3-4 calls earlier as well. We are continue revamping our product suite, and the last year when the regulation came, our priority was to prioritize this unit-linked product and non-par and protection, and subsequently we are having less par products. There are significant demand in the market for par, particularly for child segment and the money back. So this year we have launched both the products, one on the child segment, other is the limited pay money back par, and other is the regular pay money back. So this product is a lot of requirement from our field force from the last 15 to 18 months that we have launched. There were delays from our side, but when the product has gone, there is a lot of attraction, and that's the reason we see the growth in the par business. But if you look into the absolute, if you just ignore this growth, but if you look at the composition of the par in our portfolio, it is much lower. So you may see the growth in the par going forward. But this is our product management approach that we have finalized 2 years back and working on, including the riders. And there is nothing linked with the GST for the growth of the par.
Understood, sir. The second question is on solvency. So it is now in this quarter at a multi-year low, and we have a dividend, potential dividend announcement coming in 4Q when we typically see 10 to 15 percentage point further drop in solvency. So, you know, how do we look at that and any need for capital requirement, if any, that could lead to?
No, as far as our dividend distribution is concerned, we follow a principle which we are constantly following for the last few years. As far as the solvency is concerned, I think if you see, it hovers between the 192 to 202. So we are pretty comfortable on this range. And as far as business, the way we have been doing and the product mix is shifting, there was anticipated that there would be some kind of pressure on the solvency. But we are quite confident that our back books as well as our business growth, which we're anticipating in the next quarter, we don't see any pressure on the solvency per se towards the declaration of dividend is concerned.
Understood, sir. And just one last clarification. I'm sorry to repeat this question. One of the other analysts had also asked. 9 months we have grown 16%. Our guidance for full year is 13 to 14%. So that implies that 4Q growth will be 10% at the higher end. And 4Q last year was not a strong growth year for us. So even the base is quite favorable. So is there, you know, anything that we are missing out, or is just that we do not want to revise the guidance at this point of time, because otherwise it will mean a reasonable slowdown in growth next quarter?
No, I am very sure that too much should not be read into these numbers. As far as full year growth is concerned, we had given a guidance, and there is no point in revising that guidance at the end of 10th month. So I am sure that you will be seeing that we meet our guidance with a positive bias.
Understood. So fair enough, sir. That's clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Vinod Rajamani from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my questions. I had two questions. The first one is on this on the protection products specifically. So if I look at the individual sum assured, that's gone up by almost 74%. But your individual protection new business premium has grown by 25%. So this sum assured inflation which is happening, is that because of, say, selling more of a return of premium kind of term plans, or is it because, you know, the sum assured on your savings product itself have gone up? So that is question number one. Second question was on this channel, economics and so on. So the bancassurance productivity has jumped around 15%, and your agency productivity is at 3 lakhs, despite adding some 25% more agents. This OPEX ratio has gone up by 90 bits 6.2%. So just wanted to know how much of this OPEX increase is related to agency, and what is the realistic timeline we should have in mind before this agency productivity also starts inching upwards? So these were two questions. One was on agency productivity going upwards, and the second is on why there is a divergence between the sum assured and the new business premium on the protection side.
So divergence between the sum assured and the premium is on account of the growth in the total protection, and within the protection, the share of drop has gone down. Share of pure protection has gone up with where the premiums are lower. So the total premium growth is lower than the total sum assured growth. That is as far as your protection query is concerned. Regarding the increase in OPEX, as already said, that this is also a result of change in product mix. The productivity on the agency side, there is already an uptick, not only on the productivity, also on the number of agents have increased, and despite that, the productivity is showing a good increase in the number. So strengthening of agency channel is ongoing, and we want to improve our total agency contribution in the channel mix.
Yes, so that's perfect. So I understood the agency bit. Just on this sum assured, so I see the individual sum assured has gone up by 74%. Whereas the, so this is excluding the group business. So, and your individual NVP protection is gone up by 25%. So, the reason why I was asking is why is there the gap between, say, the 74 and 25? Is this because, you're selling more of return of premium kind of products, or is it because...
No, it's reverse. It is actually reverse.
Okay, it's the other way around.
For the same sum assured, drop has a higher premium than pure protection. Here mix is improving in favor of pure protection, so the premium is going down for the same sum assured.
Understood. Okay. Thanks so much. Those were my two questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Raghuresh from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. So first, on the gross impact of GST in this quarter. So on an absolute number, the impact is around 1.3 billion, which is almost 5% of the 3Q VNB. So I'm unable to reconcile that, how that, fits with the overall 1.75% or 1.75% impact for the full year. And secondly, the banker growth, so this quarter, in fact, starting from September, the banker growth has been a positive surprise. So anything to read into that? Should we start extrapolating this kind of growth in our models? Because, say, a couple of quarters back, weak growth from banker was a key concern.
So on the GST side, on the margin, what we are saying that the business that we retain in this Q3, which is purely post GST, the impact on the margin, you know that this is only for the one quarter, and the GST impact came on the 22nd of September. So the impact that we are seeing in 110 basis points that we disclose is on account of the new business return after 22nd of September. And the earlier business during the financial year, where the GST impact on the renewal commissions. And once going forward, once this will move to the next year, the impact for the all business will be 150 basis points on an annualized basis. And what we are saying that the impact that we are going to get on the new business on account of GST, 150 basis point will get offset mostly by the better product mix in terms of the line of business and within the product and different kind of products, and that will mostly offset, and balance remain will be approximately 30-40 basis points at end of this year.
As far as banker growth is concerned, first let me clarify that there has never been any degrowth in the banker channel in last 2 years or even 3 years kind of period. Yes, the growth rate had come down to higher single digits. And fourth quarter growth, as far as it's concerned, you are aware that Q3, October, November, December has always been a very strong quarter for SBI Life, and this year's growth was also added by, I will say, that the GST issue, the GST exemption that has been granted, the affordability has improved, and probably that has effect on the entire industry, including the SBI Life, which has posted very good numbers in Q3.
Okay, so nothing specific which has changed in the SBI bank channel in the last 3-4 months. It's just the industry taking.
No, it's a natural growth progression.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mohit Mangal from Centrum. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. I've got 3 questions. My first question is that if you can throw some light on the ratio of return to premium to pure term, you know, in the individual protection segment, you know, at the end of 9 months, and maybe how it has, you know, evolved over the last 2 to 3 years, then that would be helpful. My second question is towards the attachment rate. If you could tell me what was the attachment rate in the credit life segment. And my third question is in terms of the number of branches. I think you said that, you know, you have increased the number of branches by 66 in this year. So wanted to understand your strategy in terms of how it will go in financial year 27, and will it impact the cost ratio?
So credit life, 52% is our attachment rate for home loans. On the pure protection for 3 years, we will give you that data offline for 3 years strength. And on the branches, we have a very large base and we start branch, you know, in a very standardized way. So there is some impact on profit, but it, on the cost, sorry, but that is not very material in SBI Life scale.
Okay.
Because we start a, you know, small 6% branch unit, and it has, you know, not such a big cost in the first few years. Only we expand only when the branch stabilizes.
Understood. And this will be opened in tier 2 and tier 3, right?
So some of them are in tier 1 also. So depending upon what is the potential we see in a particular area is what where we open the branch. Not obviously many of them are in tier 2, tier 3, but not necessarily in tier 2, tier 3.
Understood. This is helpful. Thank you, sure, the best.
Yes.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Harshal Mehta from AMSEC. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thanks for the opportunity. 2 questions from my end. First, in terms of non-par, so if you can just highlight how is been the traction in our new product launch, Smart Rating Advantage, do you expect non-par share again in shake up and par and bill going down? That was one. And secondly, in terms of ULIP, is it safe to assume like this year, ULIP has 62% of the mix for 9 months? Can we expect to reach to FY23 levels of 55% over the next 2 years? And par and non-par being, you know, again in shake up? So that one or 2 questions are put aside. Thank you.
New product that we launched, non-power partner assured advantage. This is very good attraction in the market. And there are 2-3 reasons for it, because they're given more flexibility and also giving the longer term guarantee. So we introduced 30 years kind of guarantee as well. So we see a lot of attraction. And similar thing is happening in the power product that we have launched. I think going forward, you might see that the par non-par together will see the growth, and that growth will help you to improve the margin because your ULIP will come down on that basis. And it's also a phenomena of the as we always said that our objective is to give the full view of the product to the customer, and depending on their needs, they will look for guarantee they will try to match exactly. Product, another in terms of the liquidity from the customer perspective, and the customer who are looking for the upside, the limited guarantee with the upside, going to the par product.
Thanks, sir. All the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Shobhit Sharma from HDFC Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a great set of numbers. So my first question is on your rider attachment. You have mentioned that the rider attachment is currently in the range of 35% to 40%. We had plans on attachment of riders in the renewal business. So if you can share some updates on that, where are we on that? Secondly, Banca, we have seen very strong growth in third quarter. Can you comment some qualitative comments around how the growth has been for the month of January? And sir, is it right to assume that the growth in Banca was primarily driven by the launch of the new PAR product? Because it seems easier to shift from ULIP to a PAR product versus a non-PAR. So if you can help us understand that. And we have been driving digitization initiatives in SBI Bank, which was a cause of a slowdown in the SBI Bank channel via the YONO app. So if you can comment on that, how the business is shaping up from the YONO app and all of that. And lastly, on the product pipeline for the Q4, if you can help us understand how the product pipeline is building up for the Q4 and have we launched any product? So these are my questions. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so on the rider attachment, we have just begun in this quarter rider attachment and renewal that has just started. Though we want to increase the set of products on which rider attachment is available, that will probably take the next quarter. So current set of existing products which are in force, the rider attachment has started. Products which are closed for new business, rider attachment has not yet started. That also we hope we will start. On the Banca, we would continue to expect decent growth coming forward, going forward, you know, similar in line with maybe a little more less than the company growth that we see in the Banca overall company growth. As far as new product, we have already launched Smart Platina Advantage, and there is work going on the other products which may come this year or maybe early first quarter, FY27.
Okay. So just to follow up on the renewal rider attachment, so is this pertains to a particular business segment, ULIP or non-PAR, wherein we have started attaching the riders, or if some comments around that, please?
Both.
On the renewal side, you mentioned we have started attaching. It is across all segments.
But we have existing products, not closed for new business, which are open for new business where they have started from 1st October. Some of them have started a little earlier. So first renewals have already started coming in for the products which we are currently selling. For that, rider attachment is in place now.
And just to add that we have given flexibility to the customer in case they are not able to opt the attach the rider at the beginning of the policy, they are opted to attach in the subsequent policy anniversary as well. So you might see that renewal, not only the one chunk that before the new business which has been sold before the launch of this rider will get attached, but some of the policy which is missing today for rider, you may see that the customer will also go and out for the rider in subsequent premium payment time.
Okay. And sir, what about the progress on the, you know, how much business are we able to channelize via that? If you can comment around that.
1.5 lakh policies we have already sold in current year. And that is a pure protection product that we sell.
Okay, sir. And Pritesh, sir, just one question on the, since you mentioned that we have given option of attachment of riders on the policy which on the new products which we launched last year. So how the VNB margins would be considered for that? Because if that premium comes in the rider, will that be classified as a new business premium or would it be considered as a renewal premium?
So, sorry to interrupt. Sir, the line for the management has been dropped. Please stay connected while we reconnect the line for the management. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the line for the management reconnected. Yes, sir, please go ahead.
Should I repeat the question, sir?
Yes, sir, please.
Yeah. So on the renewal business, you mentioned that we are attaching riders. So since the policy, so the premium which will be coming on the rider will be classified as a renewal premium and or a new business premium, and how are we accounting for the new business margins on that?
So rider is a new product. So all riders are new products. Any premium, any new rider sold in a particular year will be classified as a new premium.
And the impact on margin is not material.
Okay, sir. Thanks. This is from my side. Yeah. All the best.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Dipanjan Ghosh from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, hope I'm audible.
Yeah, Dipanjan, go ahead.
Yeah, a few questions from my side. First, when I look at your segment-wise margins, it seems that the ULIP margins, are probably somewhat close to your company-level margins, maybe a few percentage points lower. Maybe due to some efforts that you have undertaken on riders or higher commission. So just in terms of, you know, understanding the prospects of the unit margin for the next 2 to 3 years, how much more scope do you really see in this segment? The second question is on the non-SBI banker part. You mentioned the growth data. Just wanted to get some color on the product mix and how that has just shifted in the last few quarters or years. And third question was, I don't know if I mentioned, but could you spell out the like APE for 3Q or I?
Sorry, so on this margin, we don't disclose, you know, we don't disclose the margin for different line of business, but each and every time we look into the company VNB and margin is a byproduct for that. And we do see opportunity in improvement, because each and every time when we revisit our products and offering, we try to optimize the value, and not only for the margin term of the shareholder, but also for the better return to the customer. In that process, there will always be scope for improving the margin from the current level for each product within the things, and that will ultimately help to improve the margin for the company level. We are not going to specific to the particular product margin.
Hi, Deepankar, you are there?
Sir, on the credit life APE, on the credit life APE and the non SBI banker product.
Pandan, we are not able to hear you properly.
So there is a lot of background noise coming from your line.
Is this better? Am I audible now?
A little better, yeah.
Yes, I just wanted to ask for the credit life APE for the third quarter and also the non SBI banker product mix and how that has evolved.
So credit life AP is roughly 75 crores in quarter 3, and for the non-SBI partnership, roughly it is 20% ULIP, remaining non-ULIP, roughly split half-half between PAR and non-PAR, about 5-6% protection. Roughly that is the mix.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Megha Bagaria from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So I wanted to check why is the PAR product growing so much? Like in the recent quarter, we see that PAR has grown more than non-PAR, which shouldn't be the case given the current yield curve. So can you throw some light on that?
So that's, as I explained earlier, Ajay, we have launched in our product portfolio, we are missing up the particular specific product in the PAR segment, particularly in the child segment and the money bag that we have launched. So while child product helps to meet the customer requirement to protect their child, the money bag also provides the liquidity to the policy holder, because the payment is done on the irregular interval. And this was most awaited products to launch. And that's the reason we see a lot of attraction in things. And that's the reason you see that growth is happening in the PAR. But if you look into totality, PAR is still much lower than what we expected to be.
PAR is 10% roughly of our business.
They're looking to be approximately 15-20% the PAR, because that will also help us to give the better return for the existing customer as well. And in the last few years, we have declared the bonuses which are higher than what I illustrated, and also giving attraction to the customer in terms of buying these PAR products.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Jhingran for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for your time and queries. You may get in touch with our investor relation team in case you have any follow-up questions. Thank you. God bless everyone.
Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of SBI Life Insurance Company Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.